Cool.
Welcome to episode number 37 of our podcast, Up on Foil, where we talk all about foil. And today we have Benjamin May with us. He's a 20-year-old German champion, freestyle and race winger. And he won the first two SFT events in pump foiling where I met you. And it's really cool to have you on. Benjamin, is there something right at the beginning that you want to add right away before we go into deeper stories?
No, actually, you already said most of the stuff that people should know about me. But main focus is on foiling and every kind of discipline, be it in racing, pump foiling or freestyle. Right now, more on wing foiling than pump foiling, but in general, just foiling and oval. So that's what I do most of the times.
That is great. You're not at home at the moment, right? You're not in Germany. Where are you at the moment?
No, I'm right now in Galicia, northern Spain. Yeah, we just came back from a shooting in Morocco in Dakhla, and then I either had a choice to go back home for a couple of weeks or stay around here. And then I just decided to stay around here, and then went to northern Spain because why not? Got already quite some good conditions with waves and good wind, and yeah, now I'm waiting for the Defi to start in a couple of weeks.
That is so cool. Just a heads up, Benjamin, I'm going back and forth because I'm on a balance board, so I'm not really dizzy or something. But let's get into that. You've been in Dakhla now and you're in northern Spain. How come that's your life at the moment? Are you a pro? Are you living from foiling at the moment?
Actually, yes. Yes, I am. Just traveling around. I'm having good times and like sometimes going on a couple of events and a couple of competitions. And in between just training and having a good time.
Was it your goal or it just happened?
Well, my goal, it was already since I was a little kid to just live off a sport. You know, in the beginning it was football. I think probably many kids have the dream to be a pro footballer. Or football player, and then I was kind of getting more into alpine skiing, and then that wasn't kind of my thing. I wasn't that good. And then during COVID the whole skiing thing got shut down, and that's where I kind of discovered more the foiling stuff at home, because we barely have wind at home. And I started originally with kiting and windsurf foiling, but then kind of step by step the whole wing foiling thing started. And then I just got into it more and more. And you know, during COVID we barely had like school. We mostly had school from home and then only half a week, and then I had more time to practice on the lake. And then I had the decision to either go directly into university after school or do like a 1 year, let's say off year. Then out of that 1 year, now it's already the third one.
So it means that it went well. So you're also one of the COVID stars, COVID prodigies, like foilers.
Yeah, I think that's where quite a lot of people started, because you didn't really have had any possibility to do anything other. And I mean, you just could go on the lake and do anything.
But I mean, you must have improved like step by step. I imagine not when you did some windsurf foiling that you didn't loop or did crazy tricks. You just cruised around, or was that already freestyling and was that already a thing, or did that happen like gradually with winging then?
No, I actually started more on windsurf foiling racing than freestyling. So in the beginning, I was totally hooked on racing with big board, big sail, small foil. But then like kind of the whole wing foiling got me more and more into freestyling. Yeah, I totally enjoyed doing freestyle on the wing. I mean, I would also like to try windsurf freestyle one day on the foil, but it's just, quite a lot of gear to carry around.
Even more. I mean, I imagine you carry around a lot of things already. What did you bring to Galicia? Is it behind you in the car?
Yeah.
Is it behind you in the car, or how do you bring it?
It's in the car. I have like two freestyle boards, one racing board for wing, and then a surf foil board, a kite foil board, because, you know, kite foil is small, compact for the low wind days when there's only like 8 knots or something, a pump foil board, and one surfboard for like when it's too steep to pedal on the waves with the surf foil. Yeah, Then I would like to bring some more windsurf gear, but yeah.
And then I imagine many foils as well.
Yeah, foils. I don't want to talk this too much.
That is so cool. So you started when you was young, you grew into that. When was the first time you realized, all right, I'm actually better than my friends around me? How did that hit you?
I wouldn't say at some point I realized that I'm better. It was more like, a process to just doing tricks and everything. It wasn't really about who's the better one or who's the best wing foiler or pump foiler or whatever. It was more like a process of learning new tricks. I think the whole thing of competition is not really, well, it is nice to win, but I think the most enjoyable thing about competition is the process to, learn a new trick and then stick it also in competition. And I think that's what kept me on doing new tricks on the wing. And I also still remember the day when I learned my first backflip or first front flip. So it was more like enjoying the process.
That is so true. I have a question because I'm more of a cruiser. I stick all my jibes, most of my tacks as well. What's next? What should I do next? Because I'm not going for a front flip, that's for sure.
I don't know. Be creative. Huh? There's
I'm scared mostly.
I don't know. Maybe start the small little jumps. You can start some 360s or so. Also like a carving 360, like going downwind and then upwind again. You can do the same thing going like upwind and then doing like an upwind 360. And then you see all the videos from Balzer.
Well,
you can be so creative by not even jumping out of the water.
That's true. That's true. Have you tried his foil yet? His Sea Devil or what it's called?
No, I haven't. The new one, you mean?
Yeah, like this weird shape. This.
No, I saw it and I was like, what the fuck is going on there? It's like a non-stabilizer foil or whatever and looked really scary.
I pumped it once before it was out and it was actually manageable. I even managed to pump it, so it's not super difficult. And the sliding thing and the 360 it does on it, I'm sure he's going to stand it pretty soon. It looks fun. It looks fun. And it's more...
How does it glide?
Sorry?
How does it glide? How does it
glide? Well, the glide he did with the wing.
Okay.
Yeah, he like shivered over the water, but with the pumping, he just like pumped and then did the 360 and just almost managed to keep on pumping. It will happen soon, but it's more like for people our age. Like he's over 30, I'm 40, so yeah, those are I think the tricks that I could do. What are your tricks at the moment? What are you working on?
Honestly, there's too much to work on at the same time. Because there are so many tricks that got invented by the guys in the World Cups. Like I'm still trying to get the 1080 in on lock, but it's actually pretty hard. Then there's like double palau back loop. Yeah, there's more than I could count on one hand.
But how does like Instagram impact your work? I imagine every other day you see someone doing a crazy trick or jumping even higher. Does that stress you at all?
Depends on what trick you see. Yeah, I just saw one trick from like I think he's 15, a 15-year-old German. I'm not sure if you guys know him, Hubert Kristall. He's from Kiel. He just posted, I think 2 days ago, like front rope slim chance. I'm not sure if that's anything
to explain,
it's like it's like a front flip with a back mope. To be honest, when I first saw it, I was like, what the fuck? I'm never going to try it, because otherwise if I try it, I'm going to rip off my arms, because he goes like the wing behind his back and then his arm kind of into the boom. And I was like, oh nah, never. I'm going to try that, because at some point you're just too scared to injure yourself. But I think sometimes you also have to overcome that fear to get into like a new process of learning. Yeah. Well, at first I sleep, I don't know how many nights enough nights, maybe 1 week, sometimes depending on the trick, maybe just one day or so. I sleep over the trick or about the trick, and then I think about it. And just when you have the trick in your mind, that you land it also in your mind, then you can start doing it on the water. Try it on the water. Otherwise, I wouldn't recommend trying anything.
Because if you don't try it on the water, sorry, go ahead.
If you don't have your trick on the mind, it's I wouldn't recommend that. I've done it already one time and it was a bad end.
What was that? Can you tell a story?
No, it was like a backflip on skis. I think one of my first ones when I was really, really young, you know, then you're still kind of stupid and don't think about it. And back then I didn't really could do anything backflips or anything. And then I was kind of doing like not doing a backflip, more like a cork something. I don't know. It was definitely not a backflip. And then I landed bad. And then I had, was just a bad jump. And first, you always have to think about it and then do it on ground, grass, water, whatever.
So that was the next question. Do you go on a trampoline or do you just handle the wing on land and try to visualize it even more?
Well, I had a trampoline. I was doing quite a lot of tricks when I was a little bit younger, from like 10 to 15 in the afternoon, always on the trampoline. But right now, I'm not really like training, especially on the trampoline to get anything done. I rather just, if I want to learn a trick, I'm on the beach trying to visualize it and then, yeah, just try to get the trick in your mind and then try it on the water. Most of the times it also works.
Is it better if you're on the water with other freestyle wingers so they try things as well, or are you more comfortable on your own and just focusing on yourself?
I think if I want to try something new, I rather stay alone, but it really depends on the conditions. If you have like offshore wind and you try a new trick, then it's for sure better if you have like some friends on the water, because if you pop your wing and it's offshore, then you're gone. But if I have like safe conditions where I know nothing can happen, it's like onshore. If I pop the wing, then I'll just float 10 minutes and then I'm at the beach again. Then I rather try it by myself, because then I just, you know, then I'm by myself with my mind and can focus on myself.
For sure. And I wanted to ask you a bit of topic. Are you always traveling alone? Like, you have a caravan, I see. And are you always alone? You have a partner? You have someone filming you? Like, how does a day in your life look like?
Right now, I'm traveling alone. I was in Leukat. I went by myself with my car, and there we met with some friends, you know, other competitors. And then we went to Dakhla together with the whole Duotone team. And now I just had the decision to either stay in Leukat and, yeah, stay with the flat water conditions, or go more west to the Atlantic side, south of France, Biarritz or so. And then I just went here by myself and, yeah, just, I don't know. I don't know what a day in my life looks like here. Stand up, eat, then go on the water, eat again. A couple of days I met some locals, which I shared a session with them. Yeah. Just going on the water every time.
Is it still enjoyable for you, or does it feel like work?
No, still, it's not work for me. It's a dream come true.
That is so cool. But I imagine, I don't know how comfortable you are talking about it. If you don't want, no problem. But like, you being a pro, you have to earn money with that. How like big are the chunks? I mean, you win some prize money sometimes, I suppose. You have sponsors who pay for your gear. How does that pie look like?
Well, for sure, you're not a football player. Like, you don't earn the same money as a football player, unfortunately. But we got some money from the hardware sponsors, for sure. Also some prize money. But, you know, it's usually most of the times quite hard to, you know, stay over the water level. I'm not sure if you say it in English like this.
I understand you. I feel you.
Yeah, but right now I'm kind of on the search for some new sponsors because I have a couple of projects standing on my list. Yeah, and like that, I'll just try to stay over the water level. And then I know that I can't do it forever. That's for sure. At some point some point I have also have to start working properly. But until that point comes, I'm just going to try to enjoy it.
You want to talk about these projects you refer to?
Yeah, I think, yeah. So right now, I'm not sure if you saw it already. I released already one kind of part of the project. It's like a kind of storm chase.
The fin video, obviously. Yeah,
exactly.
I want to talk about that later on as well.
And I try to get like more projects like that with a couple of spots, which I don't really want to say yet. That's still
sure,
a secret.
No problem.
But yeah, for that, I'll just try to search for the right storm and then, yeah, make that happen. Because it's quite hard. I mean, we have already had some storm chase and kitesurfing and windsurf. But for wing foiling, it's kind of special because you need deep water, you know, and the waves should be high, but not too high because then it's too hard to get out of the water. So it's kind of hard to find either a perfect spot or the perfect storm. And yeah, that's quite a challenge.
Let's talk about that fun weekend. How long have you been looking? I mean, honestly, this year has been a great fun year. Like in March, April, every other weekend, it felt like there was fun. How was that for you? Have you been there? Was that the first time you've been there? Or have you always looked at it and went there quite often?
Well, I haven't been there yet, just for now, for the first time, beginning of January. But it has been on my list already since, I don't know, 4 years, I think. Since the first time I saw Balz doing that fun stuff with the windsurfers there. Yeah, but it was like from my hometown. We also have a fun there because I live like in the south of Munich. And so I know kind of how the wind works. But at my home, it's by far not as strong as in Switzerland because the mountains aren't that high. And then I just looked out and, you know, on the fern, you always kind of search for a big day. And it's quite hard to see the big day because it's just deciding maybe 1 or 2 days before the fern hits if it's going to be a strong day or not. And so we, I think it was the end of Christmas holidays, and we just saw it, I think, 1 day before. So it was really, really spontaneous. And then we just went there and hoped for a good session. Actually, I hoped for it to be a little bit stronger even, but well, I think it was still quite good. I mean, I was on a 2.5 wing, properly powered, so.
Let's talk about that session later on. If you have something like that in mind, can you talk us through like the planning? Do you have like a script that you want to follow, or are you just going to like vlog and be spontaneous and do whatever comes to mind?
I kind of like when I try to plan that whole thing, I want to get like a plan to get it done. Because then it's just easier to organize. But as soon as I think as it comes to the filming thing, it's better to be spontaneous because then it's more authentical. And then you just really see what's happening, maybe also behind the camera, some backstories, how to rig up and how to get there. I don't know, everything around that. And so I think it's better and also better for the video to stay like more spontaneous and filming.
All right. So a couple of weeks ago, I think it was Ben Beholz posted the same kind of story that he went to Lake Uri with the fern storm. That wasn't on the same day though, or was it?
He posted something? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he had the same, like, day. I went to Switzerland, fern, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
All right. So then you get there. It's obviously windy. Could have been windier even. I mean, you with a 2.5, you're pretty tall and I suppose a little heavier than most of us. Is that even fun with such a small wing?
It actually is, yeah. Like, obviously, I'm feeling more comfortable on like a, I don't know, 3.5 meter or 3 meter wing. But, you know, it's more like not about the pure fun. It's more about the challenge to ride that storm. And for sure, the like, you know, those spinning moves like a 720 or something, you spin way, way, way faster than with a bigger wing. And especially for me, it's very unusual because like I was riding the 2.5 for the first time that day for the year or of the season. So I was really not used to that wing size. But yeah, you just have to make the best out of that.
Was that the way you hoped it would go, or was it? Did you expect that would happen, or how was it for you on the water there?
You mean the wing, the wind?
Just like going on the water, you said you want to like chase storms and then you get there. And how was it for you on the water? Was it the way you expected it?
In the beginning, not really. From the mid session to end session, yes. Because in the beginning, I was really not, you know, used to the conditions. I was kind of unsure, like, if the wing carries me, because I already had one injury on a front flip. And I think the front flip on the, like, big storms looked the best. And so in the beginning, I was a little bit, you know, taking it easy. But yeah, in the end, I think it turned out the way I wanted it to turn out. And I think it also was, I think, or I hope it also, you could see it on the video. So
I think so. Do you look at numbers of these videos? Like, do you expect some, like, I don't know, how many views you get?
Well, for sure, you look at the video, how many views it gets. But in the beginning, I was actually expecting, like, maybe, I don't know, 100 views or something, or maybe 1,000, because I haven't uploaded like anything in years. So I wasn't really expecting anything, but in the end, it turned out quite well.
See how it did.
Then do you think that you should post a bit more to eventually get some new possibilities with sponsors?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's what I'm trying all the time.
But it's not easy because you don't have a videographer with you. Like, who's filming usually?
Sorry?
Who's filming usually? You have nobody to film you, right?
Well, like, if somebody's around there, then you can just ask them. Yeah? Sometimes it's also just the GoPro that is, like, actually the GoPros are quite good by now. But if there's, like, a photographer, or sometimes my dad also joins me and then he can film, or some friends or whatever, then it just comes how it goes, and then I'll try to get as much as possible, and then I have something in my pocket to when I don't have anything anymore to post.
It's on 32,000, so I'm a little bit jealous, but obviously it's super great content. So if you haven't seen that yet, go check it out. We're going to link it somewhere below if you haven't seen it. So that's cool. So you're going, you're chasing storms, and is that what you like the most now? Like strong winds, or is it speed? Is it the tricks? What's most interesting for you?
I would say definitely the storms. If the storm is good, then I think it's good. Like a proper 40 knots, 50 knot storm is my favorite. But for sure, that's not for like all the time. You don't want to have 40 knots all the time, that's for sure. So in between some freestyling, or basically most of the time freestyling, because you barely have a 40 knot storm, that's what I do most of the times when there's wind. But also I really enjoy the like light wind days at home, because of my home we only have in the summertime maybe average wind there is 50 knots, and then also on like 1,000 meter of altitude over sea level, and so it's less pressure, so like it's not really like proper wind, but for my home it's a good day, and then I really enjoy those days at home too.
I winged once in like 35 to 40 knots, and it was for me way too much. I have a 3 square meter wing, and the problem I had was I'm not that good. I let go of the wing somehow, I couldn't hold it anymore, and then the leash ripped off, and then the wing was gone. Has something like that ever happened to you, or you have better gear, or you never let go of your wing anyway?
Like a couple years ago, it happened already to me, yes, but it wasn't because of strong winds or anything. It was because of a wave when you have, it was maybe 1.5 meter, 2 meter wave. And then just as the wave is breaking, the wing kind of was in the wrong position. Then it pulled, and then the leash ripped off for sure. Or not for sure, but like, yeah.
Was a bit might even be better if it let go, no?
Yeah, it actually was. Nah, in this case, it wasn't better because I had to swim for like, I don't know, 500 meters or so for quite a while. Yeah, but for the storms, actually, I made myself like a double leash where I fixed it like double.
How does that work?
I just put like 2 leashes together that I had, and then I put them together with some tape, and then I had, you know, on the wings there's like one point where there's where you put in your leash, where you rig up, or like where you pump up your wing, and then around the neutral handle, and so I had it double secure, and then yeah, but I actually didn't need it, luckily. I just put it for safety if something happens, because you know, in Lake Uri it was kind of hard, because when you lose your wing there, then you have to swim for quite some time. in the cold water, and I didn't want to do that. Yeah.
How was the ambiance there? How was, I mean, imagine if there is a windy day, there are a bunch of people there. Everyone's maybe a little scared as well, but are people like hyping each other up? How's the general feeling there?
They actually did, because, you know, Balz was there, Jentl. I'm not sure if you guys know Jentl Sears. He's also a pro windsurfer from Italy. He was there. So it was actually pretty chill. For sure, there was like a certain, you know, how do you say, ambiente or so?
Like an ambiance, I think, yeah.
Ambiance, yeah. But actually it was quite chill and really relaxed and, yeah, just had some fun on the water.
That is so cool. And always, with Balz and Michi, it's always great times. They're encouraging. They're super fun and super chill. I love hanging out with these guys.
And we don't know about probably not only us, but also our listeners. Like, really, honestly, you're always in windy spots, always with a wing in your hands. But you're still winning pump fight races. How many days do you actually practice dock starting?
For the competition, I actually didn't train anything because it was my home. We had like a really, really long, cold period of where it wasn't snowing, but it was like minus 15, minus 20 degrees. And so it was really, really, really cold. The nearest lake that I had of my home was frozen, so I couldn't go there. So I had to, like, I could have gone to a different lake, but it was like, you know, the competition was end of January, and, you know, from mid-December to January is like coldest time. So actually I didn't prepare myself for that. I just had the one afternoon before the competition, but there I tried for like, I think 4 hours or so. So quite some time. But like the last years when I was home, I was like pumping also quite a lot. So in the summer when there was no wind, I went out for pumping because like testing some foils, prototypes, and I think there I got quite a good feeling about how the foils work, and then just adapted really quick on the board, and then it all worked out somehow.
I mean, have you got any tips? Have you got any tips in terms of technique or foil to use for these kind of races, sprint races?
For the sprint races?
Sprint and slalom races.
I think the most important thing is to not mess up your start. That's the most important thing I would say. Because if you mess up your start just by touching your board, like, I don't know, one or two times, then you're already 1 meter or 2 meters behind. And that are the most important 2 meters. I think on the like real pump speed, most of the riders in the top are actually quite similar. Or I think if you go like just on like full speed, then maybe, you know, you can go on a way smaller foil, then there's maybe a difference. But on like the slalom courses, I think the most important thing is just to get on the like a proper start, and then don't fuck up on the like 180 degree curve.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, because you are tall, you're heavier than most of or the other guys that I thought will win. Maybe we can talk about the boat and later on as well, south of France. Because there, I don't think you were the fastest. I think Rob was pretty fast. But as you said, they messed up the start most of the times. But I also think that's your mindset. Because you're an athlete, for one. You have been, as you said, skiing your whole life. But you're also, like, in terms of, like, concurrence, you take the edge. You know how to get in front. I think it's a mindset thing as well, knowing that you can beat everyone.
Kind of, but to be honest, when I met Edan in the, I think it was quarterfinals or something, like before I was talking with my dad, I was 100% sure that I'm not going to make that. So,
yeah, me too, really.
Totally surprised that I made it through the quarterfinals against him. It was really close. Yeah? I mean, it was maybe a couple of centimeters, but yeah, for sure, the mindset is the one thing, but then also, you kind of just have to be ready on point. I mean, I was also against Rob. I think he also messed up the start in the semifinals. So, yeah.
And he's, of course, he's a little younger than you, but he's like he's a freestyle king. He never misses starts.
Yeah.
But in the race, one against one, it's really not just you. It's the other one as well. Even though you don't have to come close. But there I saw, yeah, you won and Eden should have been way faster, but wasn't. The same happened in Lookout, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk us through there?
Yeah, it was, I think in the final, I was again against Edan Lu Tuan, I think he's spelled, and then one other guy. And we had like two rounds, so we had two finals in total. On the one final, I think he won. Also, I mean, he got a good start. He was fast and was deserved. But then on the second start, he fucked up his start, dropped in the water right from the beginning. And then it was really just, really close between me and Lou. Yeah. And then I don't know, two times second place. And then you just, you know, you have to get your start. Maybe it was also the wrong decision by him to not maybe take a bigger foil because there was onshore wind. Chop waves for winging, not that big chop waves, but for pump oiling, like 30 centimeter of chop wave or 40 centimeters already quite big. And then with the ladders, you only have a certain room to play around with the mast to start. And then when you're maybe unlucky and start right, then when the wave is at the lowest point, you only have like maybe, let's say, 5 to 10 centimeters of room to play on the foil. So maybe also was wrong decision of a skier. But I don't know. Yeah.
Do you always use the same?
Yeah. I actually used always the same. Like,
can you 1100- say what?
Sorry?
Yeah, go ahead. Say what? What you used?
I used the 1100 glide. With the 60 centimeter fuselage and 84 centimeter mast.
What tailwind did you use? What's that?
It's the H210, I think.
Pretty big.
So, yeah, it's the recommended stabilizer.
Yeah, someone would say. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Someone would say like, oh, such a big sub, such a big long fuselage. But in actual fact, like you said, you got to have a sharp start and a sharp turn. And a long fuselage and a general stab usually make those two easier and more consistent. So might be the good strategy.
But still, the waves came from the side. And I think for me, it's super difficult to start when the waves come from the side. Going into the waves directly, it's easier and away from the waves as well. But like from the side, I have difficulties to start as well.
Yeah, that's true. Especially that day was really, really hard also for me to start. I also messed up one start, but luckily it wasn't in the final because honestly, it was the first time ever that I started on a ladder with wind coming for like right into my face. So it was also quite a challenge for me. But yeah, like compared to the others, the stuff I use is quite big. Like they use, I don't know, I think Edan is on a 800, Rob on, I don't know, 700 or 800.
850, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I just come with the 1100.
but obviously you're bigger and heavier as well.
For sure. Like they're, I don't know, what are they, 60 kilos or so, and I'm like 84, 85. So.
But yeah, did he start as well on Sunday where that tow-in thing was?
Yeah, I actually started also.
How was that for you?
It was quite a cool experience to get towed into some waves. I would have loved to have a bit more difference, like distance from the start to the finish, because it was only like, I don't know, 100 meters or so. And you know, when it's like quite rare to get the chance to get towed in with the jet ski, do a downwinder and then like that everything, because I don't know, I got towed into some ways only once in my life. And for sure you take that with you. It was quite a cool experience, yeah.
But starting for you was not a problem?
No, because I had my surf foil board with my foot straps and yeah.
Okay, because yesterday it was the first time for me to wake foil. So getting that start behind the boat was quite tricky. I had like 7 or 8 misses before I actually went up on foil and managed to kind of stay in the line.
Yeah, I had the same when I tried it the first time. Like it took me like a couple of tries to get going. But I think once you know how to get the start, then it's like a normal wing foiling start, you know? So you get to know it and then somehow, yeah.
Do you do the water start wing foiling?
How do you mean water start?
Like kind of like the windsurf water start. If you fall, do you have your feet in
your straps? Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't usually use straps when wing foiling, so maybe I should.
Without foot straps, it's quite a challenge, to be honest. Also, if you have a big board, it's quite hard because I'm like 82, 83 kilograms and use a 65-liter board. So if you have a sinker board, like kind of mid sinker to sinker board, it's a lot easier than with a bigger board.
Because I have like then 74 liters and I'm 70 something kilos. Would that work?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think in the beginning could be a bit of a challenge. I think when you get when you know how to get it, then I think it should be doable.
Can I ask you another personal question? Sorry for all the listeners. I'm getting like real life tips here. Because when I wing foil and I have the foot straps on, it's not super comfortable for me. Like the feet are a little too wide apart. I usually stand with my back foot a little more to leeward. So it's not really aligned with the foot straps. Is there anything I'm standing wrong? And I cannot adjust the back strap. It's in the middle of the board. I cannot put it more towards the leeway.
Yeah, I do the exact same thing. Like when I'm not jumping, my front foot is on the foot strap in the front. And then my back foot is just like a little bit further, as you said, leewards to on the board. Just because I also kind of figured out that on pump filing, that if you stand more like, you know, like this, it's a lot easier to pump and more controllable than just stand like straight like this. Because then you have the ability to, you know, work with the, with your small muscles in your foot to like get into a corner or like get out of the corner. Yeah. That's what I figured out actually at the boat.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you have this offset, especially when you're pumping, it's kind of easier to rotate your shoulders towards the front. So it's easier to like project yourself forward, and I feel like it's easier to pump in general, not only stabilize and turn.
Yeah, for sure. I actually just figured it out because of Rob's board, because he has this kind of weird, you know, like the big
shape.
Yeah, shape.
So cool. So let's talk about like your calendar. Obviously, now you're in Galicia. You have the Defi wing, right? That's coming up, and then you probably have more like, because I'm looking at the current foiling magazine and like every other page I see you have these photo shoots, and I suppose that those as well. Look here.
How many times did you read it, Matt?
Like the foiling magazine. I always have it with me. I look at the pictures mostly. I fell down my balance board here.
Benji didn't know that he took those pictures and he didn't even know.
I did see them already. I did see them already. Yeah.
But you have these like photo shoots, I suppose, with Duotone. How does stuff like that work? They just say, all right, next week we're going to bring you to like Dukla that you said, and then you have 1 week paid, all expenses paid, and they have a good time. And they just say from then to then you have to like do these tricks, or how does that work?
Well, that really depends on what kind of shooting
we do.
Now in Dukla, we planned it already quite some time ago, but it was more of because we had like a real, you know, freestyle team now with Duotone. We have like the twins, Rocco, we have Charlie, then also the girls with Nia and Mar. And that's why Duotone just said, yeah, we have to do something about it or out of it, because there are not many brands who have such like a, I would say it's already quite a big team of freestylers, and they just want to get some value out of that. And that's also why they said, okay, well, let's go to Dukla. Also because there's just some DPC, Duotone Pro Centers opening there. And then in cooperation with that, we made a shooting over there. But we also had I had a shooting with Ian last year in Denmark. In Cold Hawaii, that's where the pictures were made. You just showed me. The one, like the backflip one that was during the shooting. And we were just shooting like, you know, the new stuff, wetsuits, harnesses. Then the branch just come to us riders and say, we have something to shoot and we have a photographer there. Are you there and there? And then we get a time done and a place, and then, yeah. We try to figure that out and get the shooting going.
That's cool. So, are you currently trying any foil, maybe that's it's like cigarettes, a bit of prototype type of thing?
Yeah, we're doing that all the time, but can't say
can't
anything
talk about
that
it
yet.
Yeah,
obviously.
I mean, the development is going on all the time, and that's also kind of good for the sport, I think.
But it's going super crazy fast. And as soon as you have a wing, it's already old for the brands. And I'm not sure, because I hear from a lot of brands that they have problems because there are so many. I don't know, man. I don't know how long it can go. Of course, there are some brands that will die.
That's unfortunately for sure. But I think with the influence from kitesurfing and windsurfing, it was kind of already like programmed like that, that it's going to be that fast, because without windsurfing or kitesurfing, it would have been maybe in the same speed than windsurfing the evolution of windsurfing in the, I don't know, 80s, 90s or something. I'm not sure if it's that good that it's the evolution is that quick, but yeah, I don't know.
It is what it is. Do you still ride like 1 or 2 year old foils?
No.
Would be interesting to compare for you as a pro.
Actually, yeah, the big pump foil, the AMP, but it got launched 2 years ago. Okay. And since then it didn't got a new shape.
So what else have you planned after like the Defi wing?
After the Defi, I go straight to my home, to Munich. And then I have like a couple of days of break, and then the next weekend after the Defi is the Foil Festival on Fehmarn. I don't know if you know Kiel, like Northern Germany. And then 2 weeks later is Tarifa, the World Cup freestyle. And then 1 week after that, I think, is we have a Youngblood camp with Duotone at Lake Garda.
During the foiling week?
I'm not sure.
It's at the end of June, isn't it?
Not June. Okay. In July, like beginning of July. And then a couple of weeks later, in beginning of August, we have the Canary World Cups on Fuerteventura and then also on Gran Canaria.
And that's what's for sure. Plus, then you're going to chase some storms as well.
During that time right now, maybe if something around like nearby where I'm right now, maybe then yes. But if it's, I don't know, somewhere in Norway or anywhere, I don't know, then not too far away.
How does it look? Do you have any more questions?
I don't think so. Yeah. But maybe he wants to add something.
Yes, Benjamin, what else do you want to tell our listeners about you, about your life, about your experiences? Maybe some cool, dangerous stories, maybe?
Yeah, well, we had quite some chaotic flight to Dakla just now with the Duotone team. It was quite a wild ride because I was the oldest one with the two twins. They're, I think, 17 right now. And the others are also just 17, 18, or just turned 18. Yeah, that was quite a ride because we had two flights from Barcelona to Casablanca and then from Casablanca to Dakla. And for when we switched in Casablanca, we all the boys went to the check-in or whatever it is.
Okay.
We didn't really had a lot of time in between flights. So it was, I think, only 40 minutes or so. And we had to go through security check with passport control and everything. And then we were like totally in a rush. And then just, I think after 20 minutes, we realized we were at the wrong check-in or security control. And then we had to run through the whole airport and was like, I don't know. I think I ran a marathon that evening. That was such a nightmare. And then we just arrived at like, I don't know, 2 p.m. in Dakla and we're totally dead. It was, yeah.
All right. So,
yeah,
but not like dangerous things that happen on the water. Mostly
no.
Like administrative stuff.
Oh, well, but yeah. No, not really.
All safe. That's so cool. I mean, that's, I hope for the best.
Most important thing is to always think about what you do on the water before you go on the water.
Have you ever had injuries or something? Yeah, you did. You did have an
Yeah, I
injury,
had.
right?
Yeah.
Front
I had
flipping.
two times on my feet. Once that was kind of, I could have like, how do you say that? No.
I avoided it.
Yeah, I avoided it. Yeah. Because it was cold water in the morning at like 6 o'clock. It was also a fun day at my home. Also on a front flip, and I didn't warm up, and then I kind of ripped or tore a ligament in my left foot. That was not that bad. It was only like 6 weeks out of the water. But then the second one was way worse. It was in Denmark. It was side offshore wind, big kickers. And then I had a like huge kicker, maybe 3 meters or so, and the wind was really, really gusty because it was side offshore. Or not side offshore, but maybe just 1 or 2 degrees offshore. And that was the reason why it was so gusty. And then I just went up and made a front flip, and then there was no wind anymore. And then I just dropped out of, I don't know, 9, 10 meters or so. And then, yeah.
So if there's wind, you can kind of break with the wing when coming back. Is that how that works? When you have like a high jump, I don't know what your highest jump is, but I assume, or the videos I've seen, that when you like flip or even just jump, that you can kind of break with the wing when coming down, like a little parachute. Is that how that works, or is it different?
Yes, you can, but you still need the wind for that. Huh?
Yeah, obviously.
In my case, there was like no wind anymore. There was, because of the gust, it was quite hard to do that. I usually also do that all the time when I go high, just to get like a more soft landing. But in this case, there was just no wind, and then I just dropped and or tore my Lisfranc ligament, and then had to get back home and get surgery. But yeah,
was since, there anyone to like get you back on land, or did you wing that?
No,
or?
I actually winged back to my car and then drove from Denmark back to Munich.
Well,
it wasn't automatic car; it was manual, so I always had to push the pedals, and then I was so stupid to follow the navigation on my phone and go not on the highway because there was traffic. I did go through Hamburg, all the roundabout,
every traffic light,
and everything,
like,
and then I always had to push the pedals, and that was quite a nightmare.
I just, maybe one last question, because you started about talking about height. What was your highest jump, and are you always trying to go higher?
My highest jump was, I think, about 15 or 16 meter. It was in Pozo on Gran Canaria. But to be honest, I really do like height, but I don't like just high jumps without doing anything. So I don't like the straight jumps where you just go high, high. I rather prefer like maybe 2 meter lower jump, but doing a front flip or palau or whatever during the jump. That's, in my opinion, it looks, first of all, more stylish, and also gives you a bit more adrenaline.
Because just jumping 15 meters is not enough. Do you look down when you're up there, or do you like wait until you drop?
Like on the straight jump, for sure. Because, I mean, what can you do on a straight jump than just looking down? Huh? But on the front flip, you just look up. Huh? So there's no possibility to look down.
Can you maybe walk us through when you're like going super fast and there's like this big kicker and you do the front flip? Can you walk us through what goes through your mind, like step by step, when you do a high front flip like that?
Yeah, for sure. Like, first of all, I try to like search for the proper kicker. That's really, really important for, also for the takeoff. And then when I see the like right kicker, I really focus on the takeoff, because the takeoff maybe is the most important thing on the jump, because if you don't get the takeoff properly, then your whole jump is fucked up. And then you also really have to focus on the right angle of the takeoff. So it's like not fully upwind, to not go fully upwind, but like in between half wind and like upwind. That's the right angle. And then I just try to go up, up, and more up. And then maybe also sometimes I also try to get like a, you know, when you, I'm not sure if you have seen it on videos or so, that you try to like flap your wing kind of, Like you push your wing maybe a little bit more upwards to get that extra meter of height.
Like this.
Yeah, exactly like this. And yeah, then just try to lean forward, put your
chin
to your breast, and then wait. And then you just basically try to spot the water as soon as you come down again.
Nice. Thank you very much for that walkthrough, Benjamin. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Really, that was a pleasure. So all that's left for me is to announce who the next guest is going to be. That's going to be Olivia Piana. She's a downwind legend, and she's doing a lot for women in the sport. And yeah, looking forward to talk to her.
And for the next episode, Matt is going to do the front loop now.
Yeah, not sure. Maybe from a like 3 meter springboard in the pool. That might be possible.
Go for it. But first, put your trick on your mind.
Practice.
I'm gonna do it the way you said. Just do like these 360s on the water. That's more suited for me. Thank you very much, Benjamin. Thanks everyone who listened, who watched this episode. If you want to see or listen to all your episodes, go on uponfoil.com where you can find old stories. And yeah, thank you for coming on. Cheers.
It's my invitation.
Bye.
Bye.